This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On a special roundtable today, the impact of Katrina and how the rest of America is sharing the burden. Joining us from our New York Bureau, economist and author Julianne Malveaux. From Houston, Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. And in Homestead, Florida, we're joined by the mayor of that city, Roscoe Warren. I thank you all very much for joining us. Let me start out, Sheila Jackson Lee, by going to you. We just heard the president say that this is not acceptable. He's leaving, going down to New Orleans to assess the situation personally today. A number of people have suggested that Washington was just too slow and too late in movement. What do you say to that?
Well, first, I've got to offer my deepest sympathy to those who are suffering and certainly thank the volunteers on the ground. But the words not acceptable are probably too simple, if you will. Not extreme enough in terms of the collapse of the infrastructure to be utilized in times of civilian need by the United States of America. I sit on the Homeland Security Committee, and frankly, I'm appalled that the first real test after 9/11, we have failed. The actualities of not coordinating with the first officer on the ground, meaning the local officials, the mayor of the city of New Orleans, and obviously, others in other parts, such as Mississippi and Alabama, New Orleans being the most strident case, the lack of cooperation and the lack of ability to have an immediate response is, I think, an indicting proposition for our civil defense, FEMA, and Homeland Security, and particularly the director of FEMA, Mr. Michael Brown, certainly seemingly was not experienced enough to provide a collaborative plan to respond immediately to the dire need of those citizens there.
How much of this do you believe is ineptness, or perhaps, as you suggest, just not having the background to do so? And how much of this do you believe, and we just heard from a police officer who said, and we all know that these whispers are now becoming much, much louder, shouts, if you will, that had this been Boston, Massachusetts, instead of New Orleans, Louisiana, we would not have seen this situation, that race is playing a key role in all of this?
Well, I clearly think that race has been emphasized because of the very visual presence of a large number of African Americans. I would argue differently. I would suggest that race has exacerbated the problem because that is the first direction one would take. I'm frustrated by bringing the race issue up because it seems an obvious answer. But sitting on the committee, I would argue vigorously that we have a massive collapse of our system. We are, I think, a national and international embarrassment because there are principles of preparedness that you could utilize, whether it was in Boston or whether it was in New Orleans. The principles are the first line of defense is an immediate response.
Right.
And with all
Let me do this.
That we have, you could have the immediate response. The fact that there are African Americans there and the whole new policy of shoot to kill does seemingly emphasize a race question.
And we're going to get into that in just a moment, that being raised by the governor of Louisiana. But first, I want to play a clip from the mayor of New Orleans that aired yesterday on a talk radio program on WWLAM in New Orleans. We'll play a clip of that and come back out.
I need reinforcements. I need troops, man. I need 500 buses. You know, one of the briefings we had, they were talking about getting public school bus drivers to come down here and bus people out here. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is a national disaster. Get every doggone Greyhound bus line in the country and get that moving to New Orleans. That's they thinking small, man, and this is a major, major, major deal.
Roscoe Warren, when you hear that, clearly a man frustrated, and one can understand that you, obviously not to this degree, but dealt with much of the same issues and problems in Homestead, Florida, when hurricanes ravaged that area. You certainly can understand that. Talk to me about what you think when you hear that coming from the mayor.
Well, I am really appalled. After 1992, when we had a similar situation as the mayor is facing with, and our leaders had to stand up and said, where are the federal troops? 3 days after Hurricane Andrew hit us, I didn't think the government knew we existed. and the 3 days later, then the federal troops start coming in. So I thought we learned a lesson from 92, then after 9/11, and now this disaster in the Gulf Coast, and we still wait before we respond. We were not ready. And the ineptness of our government from the state level to the federal level there is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. The focus is on the looting and not on saving lives, and I don't understand that you shift all those police officers and National Guards to protecting what? What are they protecting? Those the properties, the goods in those businesses are destroyed, they're damaged, they're no good to anybody. Get those folks out of there. That should be the focus of every soldier and every police officer there in New Orleans. And I just, they called an evacuation prior to the hurricane hit. Why were those folks still in the hospitals and in the prison? That should have happened 2 or 3 days before the hurricane showed up.
Mm-hmm.
It just, so much went wrong in this evacuation plan that it's just appalling. I sympathize with the mayor. I know his hands are tied. He don't have the resources. And just to see the people suffering in this country, it never should have happened.
Mr. Mayor, let me ask you this. When you hear from the Louisiana governor that she is no longer going to tolerate the lawlessness, and she has in fact given an edict to shoot to kill, if you will, if you find people engaged in lawless behaviors, yet she says there's a differentiation between stealing bread, obviously, and stealing a television or raping someone. You do set a certain environment when you give an issue of, quote, shoot to kill. Do you think that that is a mistake?
Well, my focus would not be on the looting. And I think the television cameras and the government are focused on the looters, which is I know is a very minute percentage of the population there. But when I see people on the rooftops and folks dying in the Superdome and at the convention center, and we're worried about protecting property instead of protecting lives, and I just think the focus is off. I would do everything I can to get everybody out of the city of New Orleans. And of those property owners that are worried about their TVs, the VCRs in their store, to hell with it. That's mm-hmm. not a priority. Now, the ones that are causing physical harm to others, they should be dealt with. But if there's any property loss, so be it. That is not a priority right now. Wouldn't
Julian
be for this mayor.
Julianne Malveaux, talk to me about the cost of all of this, not just obviously the psychological cost and the heart-wrenching cost to a nation, but the idea that this is going to ripple throughout the United States and hit people in their pocketbooks.
Ed, before I do that, let me just say, you know, that I have family in New Orleans. I want to thank you for doing this segment. And, you know, we all as a nation are going to have to reach out to everyone. And Red Cross has some issues with how they administer stuff. There's a whole lot of racism here. So I would just implore to everyone in the listening audience to do what you can for the people you know, to help people, to bring them into your homes, because this is really devastating. And as you say, the dollar cost is the least of it, but we're talking about tens of billions of dollars. We're talking about, of course, property loss, the rebuilding. It's interesting to note that we may have been able to avoid some of this had a $2.7 billion appropriation for the levy been passed, but that did not happen. But in any case, hindsight being 2020, we're looking at tens of billions of dollars just to rebuild New Orleans. But for the rest of us in the nation, the most immediate thing we're going to see is the increase in gasoline prices. People have already seen it. About 40% of our oil is processed through refineries that have been hit in the New Orleans area. So if you look at that, what you're looking at, you know, is between a 20 and 40% increase in the per gallon cost of gasoline. And I know that on the internet and other places, I've seen people post $5 a gallon, $6 a gallon. People are talking about lines. This is the tip of the iceberg. The president certainly has talked about tapping into our reserves so that we can avoid some of this. But that's a very long-term process. And in the medium run, we can expect to see? We were already talking about gas prices. I believe you and I talked about it last week and how what was happening. But now this is going to exacerbate it. For working class people, for low and moderate income people, this is going to be a body blow, in addition to the body blow that's happening there. And Ed, I don't think it's coincidental. It's important to note this very week, just as the hurricane was hitting, the poverty numbers were released. Poverty has gone up in America, and New Orleans is one of the poorest cities in our nation. A third of the people in New Orleans live in poverty. And so we're looking at people who are unprotected three or four ways around. And we saw, as my sister Sheila Jackson Lee has said, in the wake of September 11th, a massive response. We saw in the wake of the tsunami a massive response. We understand the importance of federal government institutions, hospitals, schools, and all of this. Our HBCUs, Ed, have been hit in phenomenal ways, in all universities in that area. But we're really talking about, in the long haul, billions of dollars. We really need to be looking at what we do tax-wise. I think the tax cut that have been passed need to be rescinded because otherwise we're looking really at how do we help this city rebuild? What kind of decisions are going to be made? And so this inappropriate focus on looting, on pennies. I mean, if I had a child in my hand and there were peanut butter crackers in Walmart, guess what? I would have the peanut butter crackers, call it looting or call it whatever you want. People have to eat. People have to drink water. This is just ridiculous.
Let me suggest this coming out of, and then Congresswoman pick up, but let me suggest this. Julianne raises an interesting point in terms of disbursement of money. I have received calls this morning already from the NAACP, for instance, which wants everyone to know that they are establishing a disaster relief fund. You can go to their website and we'll put it on ours. Bruce Gordon is going down to the Mississippi Gulf Coast on Saturday. The Detroit mayor's office contacted me. Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick is extending an invitation to victims down there, saying Detroit is opening its arms and it's going to allow for 500 families to come up and provide housing, education, food, counseling. They're going to open schools to some of these kids. And we are starting to see across the country, and in particular in Black America, Sheila Jackson Lee, the opening of arms, saying that we're not going to allow this to happen and we're going to stand firm in a gale wind and help out.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I would like to add that this morning the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus will join a number of organizations united around this effort, and we're looking at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation also assisting and raising funds to coordinate, of course, with the NAACP. I want to build on what Julianne said, and I want to offer to her my concern for her family, but also build on what she has said on the economic impact and the way that we distribute funds. I do raise, and I'm going to be meeting with Red Cross officials to determine how their strategy relates to sort of an inner-city rural, poor and African-American-based disaster that seems to be what Hurricane Katrina is. Their collecting of operational dollars across the nation does not translate economically into assisting those individuals on the ground. I spent hours into the morning dealing with the turnaway buses in Houston, Texas, trying to ensure that those buses that were on the ground at 1, 2 in the morning were not turned away. But what has not been addressed is the kind offer of the mayor of Detroit, for example. We're going to see people out of New Orleans, Mississippi, and Alabama being dispersed throughout the nation, mostly in inner-city neighborhoods. We have right now churches in Houston that are filled up with evacuees that no one is accounting for and no resources are coming to. Mm-hmm. So the question is, does the federal government, the President of the United States, Homeland Security, and FEMA understand that you cannot just address dollars to local governmental entities? How are you going to translate those economic dollars into the communities where those monies are needed? So that is why we have a complete collapse system, because they were not ready to deal with a distinctively different approach to civil defense, to Homeland Security, to a natural disaster.
Let me ask Mayor Roscoe Warren of Homestead, Florida, this, and that speaks directly to what Sheila Jackson Lee just said. How difficult is it after the fact for a local mayor, for local entities and towns and cities to go to FEMA, to go to the federal government, to go to state government and say, okay, guys, this is what we need and we need it quickly?
Well, I must admit that the state of Florida was very, very supportive after Hurricane Andrew. Very, very supportive. Anything we asked for, the governor Childs at the time was very, very supportive, and then, you know, Governor Bush. I mean, so we had overwhelming support from the state of Florida, mm-hmm. and initially from the federal government. Once they realized that we existed down south and that we were in terrible shape, the problem we had was 3 years after Hurricane Andrew, those funds disappeared. You're on your own. Mm-hmm. And because of the resiliency and the pride of the people of Homestead, we just had hope, and we reinvested our insurance money back in the community and the money we got from the state, and just year by year, brick by brick, we rebuilt Homestead. But what I see there in New Orleans, it's going to take more than the 13 yeah. years it took us to rebuild. Yeah. But they just the government is going to have to make a long-term commitment, which they didn't do to us, but I think with the devastation there, it's going to take 10, 15 years before those folks see a major, before we yeah. see New Orleans back to where it was before. I mean,
at least
it will never be to where it was, but
yeah, it's almost unfathomable, Mr. Mayor, to think that's the case.
And
Mayor
in my
Roscoe
case, I lost 50% of my residents left my community and never showed yeah. back up.
But you know
Mayor
what,
Mayor Roscoe Warren of Homestead, Florida. Thank you very much for joining us, Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Congresswoman, please keep us abreast of the efforts of the Congressional Black Caucus, and we will pass those along. And Julianne Malveau, our best to you as relates to your family. We'll be talking to you next week and keep updated on all of this. And we are going to put on our websites, on our website at NPR.org, as much information as we can about the NAACP's efforts, Detroit and other cities, their efforts, and we'll keep everybody updated. So I thank you all for joining us.
I might add that Houston is going to be forming a Healing Hands Coalition in the faith community to be of help to those communities beyond the Astrodome. And also just to say that Congressman Bill Jefferson is someone who will be the point person, being the congressperson out of that area, and I offer my sympathy to him.
All right. Well, keep us updated, and I thank you all for joining us. Greatly
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.